Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Flow Track Podcast. Happy Monday. I am Kevin. He is Gordon. This is our first episode on the Flow Track main channel. We're on the Flow Track Podcast channel for 612 previous episodes. So we might have some new listeners, some new viewers. Gordon, can you catch them up on the previous 612 episodes before we get going on 613?
Yeah, so it all started in a tiny Handycam studio. Mm-hmm. On, was it February? January?
2020.
Pre-COVID 2020.
Yep.
So early 2020. We never thought that we would do 600 of these episodes. We had to do like a whole year of talking about track with no track. But here's the thing, though.
It really picked up around episode 375.
375.
Yeah, really, that's when we hit our stride.
Yeah, we started hitting our stride. We started learning the names of the athletes.
That's a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. But for me, it's probably not.
No. Keep going.
Here's the thing. Our old podcast channel, it's weird calling it that, an old podcast channel.
Old
had like 20,000 subscribers. Uh-huh. This channel has 520,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's 500,000 more people potentially can listen to us.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's a lot of pressure on this first episode for us to like win them over.
And this will be a good indication of the type of show that we do. Because we're going to focus on things that you got wrong in track and field.
In terms
of your predictions. Because last Monday's show, the loyal listeners of the pod, the people who have been with us for a lot of episodes, remember, Gordon was out on a limb, it's fair to say, on a couple of key predictions that didn't come to fruition. And you were texting me about it through the weekend. So I knew it was on your mind. You were really keeping your fingers crossed so you didn't have to start the show like this.
I was right on a few things.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, I can't be right. If I was perfect, then I would be a billionaire.
What were you right on? We'll start there. What were you right on? Go quickly.
No.
So we can dwell on the parts where you were incorrect.
I was right about the men's 200 not being the greatest event of all time.
Not what I said, but that's okay.
Yeah. Liz,
you want to start with 100.
Yeah, we'll start in order.
You listed this first, which means I guess.
Hold on.
You're willing
we're
to.
Technical difficulties.
Uh-oh. Gordon has lost his head.
I'm stuck.
Gordon has
his earpiece stuck into his chair
for those of you watching.
Sorry. Extra 500,000 people.
Okay. So, you were really confident about the 100. I have been much more, let's say, about the 100. In terms of making predictions. I said, Curly is the clear number one. Everything else is on the table. We have a rotating cast of number two. You said, no, it's clear. Christian Coleman is number two, and he's going to assert himself as number two in New York City because he's going to run 9.7. Well, he didn't run 9.7, and he got third. He got beat by Zarnell Hughes and Akeem Blake in this race. I know that's not the story. The story is Zarnell Hughes, but I think what we have is a continuation of a trend in the men's 100 where we just have so much ambiguity about who's going to make the U.S. team, other than Fred Curley, and who's going to be on the podium, other than Fred Curley, because we feel good about Fred Curley. And New York was another example of this.
Yeah, so the winning time is what I thought. I mean, 9.83, I thought we'd see 9.79, but the winning time came to fruition what I thought. I just thought it would be Coleman running that, not Zarnell Hughes. This is a huge PB for Zarnell. British record, 30-year-old record, something like that.
Yeah, Linford Christie's old mark.
Yeah, so it's phenomenal for Zarnell because Zarnell has never been really a world lead type guy. He's like, hey, I can make a final here and there. But no one ever looked at him as a medal contender. They all looked at him like maybe he can get.
Well, he had been, but the false starts were always his issue too.
So, but this all of a sudden turns him into the Omanyalas of the world, the Simbenes, where it's like, hey, you are legit one who can break up one of the U.S. guys. You are legitimately in the top three contention. You run 983. You don't do that by accident. But before I go back to him, I'm all over the place. Talk about Coleman.
Go ahead.
I could tell in his press, his post-race interview, he thought that this was going to be a better race than he put out there. Like, he, I think he kind of surprised himself about his poor performance. And because it was kind of all building up to like, all right, you've had some good wind-aided marks. You've been running consistently. You had only one loss all year long.
Yeah.
And so it's like, this is going to be showing it all. And you kind of just like put up a dud. But this is, to me, this looks like, you know, a game one of a seven-game series. He got blown out. It's okay. The season is still far ahead of him. And it's, I don't think this says that he can't be the number two guy. I honestly still think he's the number two guy.
Doubling down. I love it.
I think one bad race shouldn't be enough to sway me to be like, all of a sudden, you're not him. And he even mentioned that, like, in college, people race every weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of opportunities to put yourself out there of where you are at the in the landscape of your competition. And he even admitted, like, we don't really get that. You only get a few opportunities. So when you don't run well in one of your few races, it feels even more dramatic. It's like, you know, you lose a baseball game.
You get the next day.
Six other games that week. You lose a football game on a bye week. You got to go the whole 2 weeks dealing with that loss. And that's kind of like what Christian Coleman's going to have going to USA's. But I think he's going to bounce back at USA's. I think he'll win USA's because I don't think Fred Curley will run the 100 final. But
I mean, I admire your confidence in him. I'm sure he appreciates your confidence in him. But again, I just think, yes, he could get second, but there's a list of 10 guys now, I think, who could get second. And he's one of those guys
for sure.
Because it is so open. Now, maybe you could argue, okay, with this performance, Hughes has separated himself from everybody else.
No.
But I've watched enough of this season to know somebody's the number two, and then they're just – then 2 weeks later, someone else is going to pop up, or he's going to go run in a Diamond League, and then he'll run a good race. But there'll be someone who's just a little bit better on that day. I think Coleman can make the team still. It was interesting. In the post-race interview, he mentioned his start being an issue and how that just sets the tone for everything else.
Okay.
And, well, yeah, the reaction time was slower than everybody else in that top five. But I think that's, in a way, could be construed as a good thing because he's always had a really good start. So I would assume he could get that back and be back in business. But, yeah, big race for Hughes. Blake, another solid one. Again, everything 2 through 10 is all written in pencil for me in the men's 100.
Tyler, if you scroll up on this result and click the 10-meter splits.
I don't know how accurate those are.
I know,
they're
but
not.
People were talking about it. But everyone said that Zarnell Hughes' final 10 meters is one of the fastest final 10 meters of all time, running 0.82 from 90 meters to 100.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate that is. Someone said they do it with GPS technology, which is really hard to be precise in 100.
So why do we even do it?
So you can bring it up in a show like this to 500,000 people.
It's not 500,000 people. It's,
I know. All right,
we're going to get humbled really quickly and realize most of the people who are on the main channel don't really want to listen to our podcast.
Loyal listeners. That's why we do it. The loyal listeners. All right. Women's quarter. Sydney, McLaughlin, Lavroni, 49.51. Another PB after a PR in Paris. And she did it a completely different way. Went out. The 200-meter split was a whole second slower than it was in Paris, then poured it on the second half. Got a solid win. Gabby Thomas, we mentioned her, being a legit 400-meter threat. She had run sub-50 this year. I want to talk about Gabby in a second. She ran 50.29 for second place. But, Sydney, another win. Where does this put her in terms of her placement in the world in the quarter right now? Like, is this, you had her already ahead of Paulino, even though Paulino beat her and went sub 49, so I'm guessing you still have her as the the athlete to beat?
Well, there's only three women who have run faster this year, the two college kids, Wilson and Adelecki, and then Paulina. I think this 49.5 was Sydney trying to run slow. Because she ran such a wild Paris run that she probably was overcompensating for that ridiculous opening 200. Mm-hmm. And I think this was like, you need a jog. And she jogged a 49.5, which I think she's still in the 48 shape. Maybe flirt with the 47 high when it comes to Budapest or whatever she decides to do in Budapest. But I think this 49.51 is her floor. I think this is her on an off day, chilling. I think this is the ultimate control. I think
controlled effort is what
controlled effort. I think she has a lot more in the tank. I mean, we saw that with get to a thing mode. Talk about controlled effort. Like, that was controlled effort. Yeah. I think the Kersey athletes knew to like, hey, this is the final regular season meet. We're getting ready for USA's in a couple weeks. Controlled efforts only. And I think when you run the number four time in the world in a controlled effort, it's pretty good.
I thought the same thing in terms of just how she approached the first 200. The Paris race, I think you can throw it out the window a bit just because I don't think she's ever going to use that sort of race tactic again. I thought, I know Kersey wanted her to go out hard, and the YouTube video they put out, he says, yeah, go out hard. She's still getting used to the quarter. I'm with you. I just think it's only going to be faster from here. The question is it going to be, you know, who's going to be able to match it, right? Is Paulino going to be able to run that time over and over again? Is she going to be able to go a level up? Because, I mean, Wilson, too, in the mix. I know Bowles said she's running the 4-meter hurdles in Budapest. I don't know if she'll add in the quarter as well, too. It's going to take a second faster than this to probably win at Worlds, realistically. Maybe 7 or 8 tenths faster than this. Like, it's going to – I don't see any world unless the weather gets really crappy in Budapest where 48 – like 7 or 6 isn't going to win it, just with how Paulino's been running. And maybe Sydney's the one to do it.
Kevin, there was a thumbnail on our FlowTrack YouTube channel. Subscribe, like, and subscribe. Where there was a title saying 400-meter/400-meter hurdles decision for Sydney. Did you watch the interview?
Yeah.
Well, what's the decision?
Well, she's going to make the decision after... You didn't watch the video.
I didn't watch the video.
You didn't watch the video. She's going to make it after USA's.
Okay.
She's running the quarter at USA's.
She's going to run the quarter at USA's. No 400 hurdles.
Make the decision after, which is probably what everybody assumed was going to happen. Because she's got to run something.
Okay. What could she do at USA's where her decision is, I'm running the quarter? And what will she do that, like, what needs to happen for her to run the quarter? What needs to happen for her to not to run the quarter?
I think she's running the quarter.
Okay, so there is no decision.
Well, no, that's just me. So I think if she wins and runs 49.2, she's going to stick with the plan, which is run the quarter. I think where she would run the 400 hurdles is if, I guess, it shouldn't qualify.
She just runs poorly.
Finishes outside the top three. I think that's the direction that she's trending. If you're wrong and 49.5 isn't her floor, but it's her ceiling somehow, and she just keeps running 49.5, and she's like, okay, I can't beat Paulino. But I think this is all geared towards the quarter this year and then both.
So you think she already knows?
I think, well, she said as of right now, I'm a 400-meter runner. Now, she said Bobby could change things after USA's. So I think, if you read, but it's just so hard. There's so much mystery with this stuff.
And why is there mystery? Who are they trying to prevent people from finding out their greatest secrets?
Well, I think
it's someone like, oh, whoa, Sydney's running the 400 hurdles. I'm going to change my game plan. No,
well, this year,
you try to run as fast as you possibly
this
can.
This year, though, there's actually probably some
track
value
is a very
in it.
Simple sport when you think about it. Yeah. Run fast.
Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe Kersey doesn't know. Maybe he honestly wants to see.
He knows.
I think the decision would be a lot easier if she was running 48.5 instead of 49.5, because then you're thinking, all right, we got a gold either way. Where do we want to use it?
Yeah, true.
Where do we want to put it? But I think there's genuinely. I mean, there's legit competition in both with Bowl in the 400 hurdles, but with Paulino, there's a real threat there, and she's already lost to her. So, again, I didn't take much from this. I like you, thought it was in controlled effort, and it doesn't surprise me that she ran faster because she went out easier and was able to hold on the last 200 and really separate.
Bowl ran 49.82 this weekend. So, what did you think of that?
I mean, again, she's another... it's her, Britton Wilson, and Sydney. Like, that's what we're wondering on and what they're going to run. And Bol said afterwards she's going to run the 400 hurdles in Budapest. It sounded like she also said I'd have to watch the interview again. I watched it three times and I couldn't hear or couldn't understand what the next part was in terms of 400 and 4x4. But she's for sure running the 400-meter hurdles. So, yeah, look what Bol ran indoors. And look what Britton Wilson ran outdoors up until NCAAs. And look what Adeleke ran at NCAA. Like, there's five people that could go under 49 seconds this year and one who already has. So,
do you know
it's not going to be easy to win the 400.
We need a – for all the – I don't know what we'll call it, but there's going to be an exhibition 4x4 where Wilson, McLaughlin, Laverone, Bol, and either Muhammad or Little run a 4x4 versus Paulino, Adeleke, Thomas, and Nasser.
Mm. Oh, I forgot about Nasser, too. So there's another one, and she's obviously run fast pre-suspension. Look, if it was a question of like, easier path to the gold for Sydney, it's the 400 hurdles, obviously. Even though Bol's really good and Wilson's really good, it's not the 400. But I just think, based on what they've done so far, I think that she'll stick with the quarter. I want to talk about Gabby Thomas, though, because I like what she's doing. I think this is really interesting. She's only going to run the 200 at USA's. She's not going to run the 1. She's not going to run the 4. But why did she run the 1 and the 4 in New York? She wants to be considered for the relays in both. And I thought this was refreshing because people always complain about, why am I not getting considered for this relay or that relay? And they don't have a time down. Or they ran some relay split at a meet in March and expect to be considered. She's actually putting her name down with a time from a legit meet and said, I would like to be considered for these events. I want to run these relays in addition to running my individual event, the 200. Don't know if it's going to work in terms of selection, but she's at least making an effort towards doing it. I think more athletes should do what she's doing. If you want to run the 4x4, run a 400 in a race that matters. And that's what she did.
Yeah,
two of them. She's run two of them now. It's going to be hard to get on the team.
It's going to be hard to get on either team, I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
Because her open 100 time isn't that good. But at the same time, you know, like, if she goes out there and is a medalist in the 200, you're worth the 4x1.
And some people are going to get knocked out because they're not even going to get to go because they're outside the top six. So it's going to be down to the six in the
pool.
In the 100 plus the twos and the ones.
She'll probably be on the 4x1 if she's a medalist in the 200.
Right. Yeah. And then she wants to be considered for the 4, which when you look at the schedule and whose event conflicts with it and injuries and all that other stuff, she's like making a case for herself to be included. I just like it. She's just saying, hey, I'm going to run this race with the express purpose of getting on this team.
Before we go to the next topic, why is your computer so loud?
Well,
are you like doing something?
No. I don't think
Are you programming?
I mean, the chat's pretty hot.
It's causing your computer to start frying?
Well, it's because the 500,000 subscriber YouTube channel is just, it's making it.
It's just so distracting.
Is it really distracting?
Yeah, Tyler, can you hear it in the microphones?
No one can hear it, man. If you're if you're distracted by that.
I'm distracted
You
by
need
it.
To have your, you need to take a lesson from Abby Steiner, who after the 200 said, you got to block out the noise. You got to block out the noise. She's turning off social media. She's all focus. Comparison is the thief of joy. She's dropping awesome quotes like that.
She's turning off social media?
That's what she said.
That's not true. She still posts on Instagram.
Twitter or whatever. She said she's not looking at other people's times, basically. Okay. She's not getting caught up. She said the clock starts at 0. Ooh. You need to take, for everybody, you need to take some advice and not pay attention to the loud noises my computer's making. Do this. Do the Usain Bolt thing, right?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about a thing, Mo.
800.
That was the race I was most looking forward to watching because you rarely see a world champion make their debut like
June 24th.
Mid-June, right? Like
Two
weeks before their qualifying at USA's, you know?
Well, she's already qualified.
But we didn't know what type of shape she was in. She scratched all the indoor races. Mm-hmm. She had that scratch at the LA meet. Mm-hmm. She comes out here. I thought we were going to see one of two things. We're going to see what we saw, where she's like, guys, I'm a thing freaking Mo, and I'm going to dominate. Or we could see her kind of like, ooh, she's kind of a little rusty and kind of barely squeaks by with like a 2 flat 159 win. We saw the prior. We saw a completely controlled demolition.
You saw the I'm freaking a thing Mo version?
Yeah, I saw she's her. 158. Time doesn't really mean much to me, but it's still like a good time. It's more about the separation. She was able to separate easily from Sage Hurter-Klecker and Allie Wilson. Now, Sage Hurter-Klecker and Allie Wilson are not
Keely Hodgkinson
yeah. or Mary Mora, mm-hmm. but they are legit. They like
could I mean, be on the team.
They're running 150. Like Allie Wilson can run 157 on a perfect day.
Like yeah.
And Sage Hurter-Klecker is a legitimate sub two type runner. So they are. It wasn't like she was beating a bunch of scrubs. She was beating A minus tier 800 meter runners, and to be able to pull away that easily lets me know that she is on pace to be, you know, in contention to win against Keely Hutchinson. I think Hutchinson is a lot better than she was last year, but Mo doesn't look like she's worse than last year right now off this first race.
No, and from 200 to go to 150 to go, she put the whole thing to bed.
Yeah.
If you were worried about it, then you saw the camera angle switch when she came off the curve. Like, oh, she's going to win by a lot. And then the margin just grew from there. I thought, though, this could have been closer if Ajay Wilson ran her normal Ajay Wilson self, yeah. which would have been 159. She had an off day. She rarely has an off day. She finished last and
jogged at the end.
Yeah, 207. So I don't know what the issue was with her. Hopefully she's good for USAs. But you could see her running 159 in there, and then the margin wouldn't be as big. But the reality is the thing, Mo put 2 seconds on this field in the last 200 meters and with definitely could have handled a more aggressive start. She didn't even go – no one went with the rabbit. They all just went with the thing Mo. It was kind of funny.
So she could have put 8 seconds on the field if she started from the beginning.
Well, I think that's not how it works. But I thought this is exactly – when I was thinking about the race, previewing it, I said she's just going to do what she has to do to win, but she's also not going to leave it to the last second. And I think this was her being as restrained as possible. Again, just as the case in the quarter, though – there's real legit competition waiting outside of the United States. And for Thing Mo, it's Keely Hutchinson, who's already run 155. So, she's going to need to be in top form, but she has a lot of time to do it. And now, 8 weeks to go until Budapest? Plenty of time to get where she needs to be, but that is going to be an awesome race. And maybe we'll even see them run before Worlds. Not likely, but we might. And that would be great.
So, we asked her... our contributor, Anderson, did a great job getting all
the interviews. Yeah, shout
out to Anderson. At the NYC Grand Prix. Asked about 1,500 versus 800. She said, oh, just like, did the my coach decides? We don't know. We're still deciding. I think she's not running the fifth. I think she one can she run the 15 at USAs without a time?
John did a report on that. He asked some people at USAs.
Because she's a defending champion. Yeah, she's allowed to just run whatever she wants.
Right.
Okay. Basically, yeah. So she could just. I think she doesn't run. I think she might just run a 15 first round and then call it a day.
Or why? You'd run 8 first round.
Yeah, 8 first round. There's no rule. Yeah.
She's so good in the 400. It's just funny that we're having this conversation about her doubling and it doesn't involve the 400.
Which you could argue may potentially even be her best event.
Right.
Because she's right now not on the entries.
For the 800?
For anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the entries close in a day or two.
Step one, get entered.
Get entered.
In the meet.
That's step two. Always the first step.
Yeah, choose the event. And then step three.
No, first step, wake up.
Run the event.
Brush your teeth.
Make the,
go to the bathroom.
Make your to-do list.
Change.
Yeah. I think.
Enter the meet.
I think if you're a Thing Mo fan, I think you're just really happy based on the margin of victory. And
I was concerned that Thing Mo was going to be...
Well, Sandra Chadrath doing commentary, the first lap was concerned, and I think a lot of other people were like, wait a minute, uh-oh, is this like where she's at? But then things just changed so quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, she's clearly in form now. She hasn't... She's definitely where she was last year. I think the challenge is she doesn't... That last year, I don't think is going to be enough to beat year's Hodgkinson. She's got to be back to 2021 a Thing Mo, and maybe even quicker than that if she's going to get the gold.
Let's stay on the 800.
Yes, let's stay on the 800. Bryce Hopple, big win.
Back, question mark?
Yeah. I think yes, period, exclamation mark, whatever punctuation you want to use. We said this was the dress rehearsal, the trial run. With a lot of the guys at USA's, not all of them, but Hopple, Harris, Kessler's not going to run 800 at USA's, but he was third. Brandon Miller, Will Sumner. Yeah, I think 144 mid for Hopple. this is an ongoing theme, unpredictability in all these events. I want to talk about that later. But I don't know, what was your main takeaway from this? I mean, honestly, other than Hopple being back, I thought about this from the perspective of Hobbs Kessler running a PR and going 145.8 and just like, okay, he's in really good position 2 weeks out.
I think Cole Hawker ran an 800, he ran 146. Yeah. So Kessler's showing that he has the speed. I wonder what Nagus could run 800 in right now.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I think he ran an 800.
Early season.
Maybe he probably ran 146 or something like that.
Every 1500 meter runner, mostly, they run 146. Yeah, if you ever want to guess, if you ever in trivia night and it's like, this is the PR of such and such 1500 meter runner.
Okay, I'm going to go through every athlete and tell you what my takeaway is. And I'm going to start with Bryce Hopple. Takeaway is Hopple is in shape to make the team, but I don't think he is in shape to be a medal threat yet. Like, I still think USA... Yet.
146 for niggas.
I still think USA is going to potentially even be shut out making any of the finals at Worlds. Isaiah Harris, it's good. He could sneak onto the team if he just has a perfect day. I would expect his experience of being at multiple meets, that's going to be his one advantage over Will Sumner.
Yeah.
Is that he's like, I've been here before. I've done the three rounds before. Kessler, I think it shows that he can make the 1500-meter team. Brandon Miller... I don't know. I thought I would get more from Brandon Miller. I think Brandon Miller might not make the team. That's my thought from this performance. Will Sumner, this was purely I'm tired race. Mm-hmm. It was, hey, guys, I just did in the scorching sun of Austin, Texas, ran a 144 with a crazy negative split.
Yeah.
I ain't going to constantly – I do not entertain, right? So he's chilling. I think, though, Sumner's odds of making a team are kind of going to be hard, in my opinion. I really do think that Hopple – Murphy and Harris.
That's the team?
Is my favorite for the team.
Okay.
And I think Harris is the one who's going to try to use his experience to knock off Brandon Miller or Will Sumner. But Eric Sawinski, man, he got sixth in this race.
He's back.
He ran 146, but.
98. 146, 98.
But that was his second race of the day. He ran a 155, 800, like an hour prior.
Love it.
Because he was pacing the 1500. Our boy, Eric Sawinski, man. He's currently in Ostrava, probably, which you guys can watch live on FlowTrack on Tuesday, pacing the 1500 in Ostrava.
Yeah. He's living his best life, but we said that the last 3 years.
I want Eric Sawinski to make the team so bad. It would be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I want him to go to the starting line of the 800 final at USA's and tell it, hey, guys, I got you. I'll rab it.
Yeah.
And then everyone's just like, all right, we can't pass Eric Sawinski. He's the rabbit. And then he uses some unique way of like turning into
some sort of mind trick.
That's like an 80-second opening lap. And everyone's like, well, we can't pass Eric Sawinski till 400 to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he just
or
like,
he goes out hard the first 150 and then just kind of drifts back and then just tucks in.
Just makes something with him. Yeah, messes with him.
Yeah.
Eric Sawinski, I love that he ran the 800 in a decent 146 time. I mean,
yeah.
He, I don't know. And Abe Alvarado, 147. He's not going to make the team. But, yeah, I think Hopple, Murphy, and Harris are my most likely result, with Miller and Sumner trying to take out Harris.
All right, I want to come back to the team. Because the question I want to ask you is, which team right now is the hardest to predict for the U.S. on the running event side of things? Because I have...
What's the definition of hardest to predict? Like
top three. There's only... Do you want to do it now? We can do it now. There's only two men's and women's side. There's only two teams I feel somewhat confident in predicting the top three.
But here's the thing. There are teams where it's going to be three of five. So
someone asked.
It's obvious that it's going to be one of three of these five people.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm talking about the top three. The top three. So men's 10,000, Klecker, Kincaid, Fisher.
Yes, that's probably the easiest.
That's one. And then I was going to say...
Not the steeple. 5K, there's too many people.
The 200 of Curly runs, but because you have Knight and Bednarik and then Curly, but I don't know if he's going to run that. I think we might be looking at the 1-4 situation. But the men, let's just go through them. The men's 100, completely up in the air. We already talked about that. Men's 2. Men's 4, who knows? 800, you outlined a potential 3, but Sumner can get in there.
Or Miller.
Or Miller can get in there.
15 is more than three guys.
15 wide open. Steeple, pretty open. 5,000, you got the a couple I mentioned. You got Tier. You got Abdelhamid Nur. High hurdles would be one. Holloway gets the bye. Maybe it's Allen, Cunningham, and Roberts, who just had a good win over the weekend.
You are.
What?
Allen, Cunningham, and Roberts are making the team? Who did you leave out?
Oh.
You left out the guy that...
Cordell Tynch. Okay, that, so that one's
Bowerman people left out, which we'll get to, because I have, I'll get to that some Cordell Tynch
people. No, you're not going
to
outflank me on Cordell Tynch takes. I planted a flag like 3 weeks ago about that, and I'm not going to have you come in here and steal it from me.
I'm like the, okay. The girlfriend who becomes a fan of the playoff team when they make a deep run.
So okay, high hurdles. Yeah, so that one's tough. There's a mess. That's kind of a mess. Or at least four for three spots.
400 hurdles seems pretty obvious.
Benjamin,
Allen, Bassett.
Okay. Rosser, maybe. Okay. And then women's side. Do you want to do the women's side of things? 10, 5. There's been a lot of people.
Yeah, that's absent, too many.
We don't know. 15.
No.
Still wide open. Steeple.
I don't
know. Open, right? A lot of people haven't been running. Women's 8. No, you don't know at all.
No.
Women's 4. Sydney.
No.
Gabby's not running. And then a lot of question marks. After that, women's 2.
I mean, you could get 2 out of it with Sha'Carri and Abby.
Well, I think Gabby Thomas is going to make the team.
Yeah, Sha'Carri, Abby, and Gabby.
Okay, that might be the one where you feel the most confident. And then the 100, you feel good about Richardson, Aaliyah Hobbs.
And then the 3rd.
And then the 3rd is question mark. I think Jefferson, Terry, Akinnison, Tamari Davis. Like, there's a lot of people who can make that team. Women's high hurdles is tough. You know, Harrison, Johnson, et cetera, et cetera. Women's 4 hurdles, mystery there.
So we could talk a little bit. So Roberts and Allen run 13:01 and 13:04. Good runs for them, season's best. Allen working his way up. Allen started his season as like a 13:04 and then has slowly knocked it down to 13:00. They're timing their seasons right. Roberts was injured earlier in the year.
Yeah.
He just started running in June or started racing in June. But the real story around the 110 hurdles is we have a new world leader in Cordell Tynch, who in Fayetteville runs a win legal 12:96. The world lead was 12:98, held by Grant Holloway. Now, he did run a sub 13 with ridiculous wind earlier in the year. And, you know, ridiculous wind times sometimes are real, sometimes they're fake. In this chance situation, it was real. Because 12:96, man, world lead. That is, like, we talked about Holloway having a broad belt problem. Has Holloway even ever raced Cordell Tynch?
It's something I could look up right now.
Look it up.
I don't think he has the problem yet because he just hasn't, you know, in a big race, it's been parchment, it's been broad belt. But I was, was anybody surprised?
Yeah, you're surprised with sub 13 win legal. Yes. 13:01 to 13:10, not surprised. But 12:96 world lead over Grant Holloway. Well, he beat Grant Holloway in the race, but I don't know about you. That is something that you got to look out for. He also kind of looks like A.J. Brown, which I love because big Eagles fan.
Okay, Cordell Tynch versus Grant Holloway. 1-0. They raced NCAA outdoors in 2019 in the semis.
But he was a DNS.
Yeah.
So they didn't race. Is that 1-0? Why is it 1-0?
Yeah, they count DNSs. Okay, so have never lined up together, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was Holloway's senior year. That would have been Tynch's freshman year, I believe. Then that was at Kansas. Then he went to JUCO. And then now he's at D2. We had talked about how everything had happened at NCAA Outdoors for Tynch to be part of the Bowerman finalists. He should have been in that group. We thought Jadon Hibbert.
We're talking about Bowerman finals as in the top three.
Top three, right. We didn't say, hey, Tynch should win it. We said Hibbert should get the win.
We said he should be in the top three.
But we had Hibbert 1, we had Tynch 2, and then there was like a little bit of space.
And then anybody. Three. And then choose.
It was wide open. Well, he wasn't on the list.
He wasn't even in the top 10. That is ridiculous. To not be in the top 10?
Well,
there are not... Because obviously Hibbert's better than him, but there are not 8 other men who had better collegiate season.
Well, you say Hibbert's better than him, but now we have the 1296. So, judging...
Even with the 1296, Hibbert's better.
Okay.
Because Hibbert's still a world leader. Hibbert's been, like, perfect. He's jumped, like, four times, and every time it's amazing.
So, this is the 10. Alekna, Garland, Geis, Gudermsen.
Alekna, lost NCAA outdoors.
Hibbert, okay. Lindsay, there's just 10 of them. It'd take too long for you to air your grievances. McLeod, Neugenbauer, Robinson, and Rooks. I said it before, I'll say it again. If you're not including him in your top three, or especially in your top 10, you're basically saying D2 athletes are not eligible for this award. There's no way. There's no way, because even if you take his wind legal marks, he was the best high hurdler in the country.
Yeah.
At the NCAA level. Then you throw in that he won the high jump, won the long jump, some good marks there as well, too. He should have been on this list. And then it's just so funny that literally,
he was on the top 10 before NCAA Outdoors.
Right. And then probably Kai Robinson jumped up there and Neugenbauer jumped up there.
Yeah, but people stayed there who lost.
Right. Exactly, which is my problem with it. And it's just so – the timing is just hilarious. It's as if he just read, oh, okay, I'm not top 10.
I'm sorry, though. Like, Kai Robinson, great runner, but, like, his double at NCAAs, that's
– not the same as Tinch's trip, yeah.
He ran, like, 14-0-something. And, like, all right, that's cool. But, like, it wasn't an impressive, like, oh, my God, a 5K, 10K double. We've never seen this – like
– yeah.
That does happen all the
Tinch
time.
Tinch is getting penalized because he's D2.
Yes.
Obviously, because if he went and won three events at D1,
but do you think the
fine.
Voters now see this guy, this college guy, run the world lead and be like, oh, yeah, he wasn't in our Bowerman? Like,
that's what. And then you get into weird stuff because it's not a collegiate record because it's outside the season. So then people are calling it like a all. What is it? What's the term they're using?
All dates. They're going to argue like that 1296 doesn't count, but he still ran a 1299 in collegiate season.
Yeah, it was windy. Right. That's my point is the 1296, even though it doesn't count, it just validates all of what he's done.
Yeah.
And it really makes the claim of, hey, this guy isn't just like good for D2 or this guy isn't just good for D1. He's one of the all-time great collegiate hurdlers. And you don't have him in your top 10. He's an all-time great collegiate high hurdler. Not the greatest.
And he's not in your top 10.
Not in your top 10 for this year.
And it's not like this top 10 has a ton of people who lost at NCAAs. Ton of people.
And even if you're saying,
who choked at NCAAs.
Well, then that's fine. Okay, you had a great season and you lost at NCAAs, and we want to emphasize the whole season. I get it. That's fine.
Sure.
Keep one or two of those guys. But you got to keep Cordell Tinch on the list.
You had 10 slots.
10. You had 10 chances to get this right, and you got it wrong.
Kevin, you know my bit about – it's not a bit. It's the truth that Treasure X – fraudulent.
Well, the 500,000 people don't know, so do you want to know? You want to re-rack that?
It was 2016, right?
No,
that was the year?
I was kidding.
It was 2016, though. That was the year?
We don't need to
Yeah,
we don't
where
need
they gave the Bowerman to Jerry Lawson because of a made-up thing about talking about, what's that guy's name? Jesse Owens. Anyway, that, him not getting the Bowerman.
You know Jesse Owens? That's embarrassing.
I know who Jesse Owens is.
Okay, continue. We don't really need to tell the story again. That was a joke.
I'm retelling the story.
Please don't.
For the other 500,000 subscribers who are clearly excited about this podcast coming to their channel. They're like, yeah, we're coming.
Okay. We'll be here.
We're here. We're not leaving. But him not getting the Bowerman, I thought was the most ridiculous thing ever because of his triple indoors and weighted out double outdoors. He had 5 titles. Should have won. And I think they didn't give it to him because they thought he'll get it senior year.
But he got in the finals.
He got in the finals at least. And it's me complaining about him not winning it. I get it. It's hard. There's only can be one winner.
Yeah.
But there can be 10 people who can make the top 10. And the fact that he doesn't even get in the top 10 is worse. I think this is a worse decision than Chesrek not getting the Bowerman.
Wow. I didn't think I'd live to see the day.
Yeah. This is worse than Chesrek not getting the Bowerman.
I'm going to have to log off.
Because they can say, well, Chesrek was still top 2. He's great. And I'm like, all right, well, cool. There's no congratulations for second. But, like, the fact he's not even top 10, Cordell Tinch, man, he needs to
– well,
he needs to protest.
Go pro.
He needs to go
pro. 1296. He needs to make the team. Okay.
I can't wait.
Eligibility, too. He still has eligibility. He's listed as a sophomore.
Oh, and then he'll go and he'll run well, and then they'll nominate him, and everyone will be like, oh, yeah, cool. And it's like, oh, you're just covering your butts.
So David in the chat says it would be hilarious if the committee would make Tinch a finalist after not including him as a semifinalist.
Can you do that?
No rule against it.
Well, I think they have to choose between the 10. Can it be a write-in vote?
Top 10. There should be. People should protest.
They have to know that they look dumb, right?
I think a
lot of
them. They're
probably thinking no one notices. Like, oh, no one's noticing.
Right, and maybe they didn't notice him throughout the year. Or they saw the windy time, and they said, okay. And they saw oh, the high jump, okay, yeah. Long jump, oh, that's pretty good. But we have a bunch of other collegiate athletes we're going to put on there. I think that the 1296 got everybody's attention because everybody was posting about it.
It's faster than what Grant Holloway did.
Yeah.
And Grant Holloway won the Bowerman.
Yeah. Yeah.
He ran faster than what the previous Bowerman.
Yeah.
The guy who's, Grant Holloway's going to probably host the Bowerman.
But I'm,
he hosted last year, right?
But I'm saying though, discount that because they don't want to count it. It goes outside the window. That's fine. I'm just saying that's what got their attention, though. But that draws your attention to his whole resume, and you look at his whole resume, and you think this guy's definitely top three, let alone top 10.
They're going to hold on to, like, oh, 1296 happened outside the window. It's like, yeah, 1299 happened inside the window.
Yeah, well, they'll say it's windy.
Mm. Courtney Lindsey was windy.
Yeah. And we know you love the wind.
Yeah. I love the wind.
The wind.
Anyway, let's keep going.
How do we – yeah, we ended up at – we went from most mysterious. Okay, you never gave me the event that you have. The event you think is going to be the hardest to predict at USA's top three running event. What do you think it is?
Hardest to predict?
Yeah.
Let me predict it.
Well, don't predict it. Tell me what the event is and why you think it's unpredictable.
I'd say the men's 400. It's going to be like a hodgepodge of college kids. You know, Champion Allison's entered. He hasn't run all year.
Yeah.
I think 400. I think there's going to be people who ran well at NCAAs who aren't going to run well at USA's because they put it all out there and they're like, wait, you ran 44 low in your final. Now you can't even make the final at USA's. And it's like, yeah, man, I just couldn't extend the season that much longer. And then there are people who are like, hey, you didn't even make the final. And now all of a sudden, you know, like Bowling could make the team. Even though he got second, he ran 45. Like Bowling could find a way to get on the team. So I think the men's 400 is going to be the hardest to predict.
I'm looking at the entries right now as of this recording, Monday, midday. I don't see...
Bowling's entered.
Fred Curley yet.
Yeah, Fred Curley's entered.
That's the one.
Yes.
That's the game changer.
That'll be fun.
That elevates this from, okay, this event is just wide open, bunch of parody, not a superstar in it, to oh my gosh, this is yes. It'll be one of the most watched events of the entire sure. competition if Curley decides to throw his hat in the ring. But right now, yeah, if you run under 45.5, I don't know, you can make it. You have a great day. Not you have to run faster than 45.5 on the day, but if you come in with a 45.5 time and just put together a couple awesome rounds. But you mentioned Allison hasn't run this year. Willie, Collegian, Norwood and Deadman, veteran guys. Robinson, Godwin, Collegians.
Robinson, U.S. champ.
That's right. That's right, indoors.
I could see Justin Robinson.
Back to back. What's it mean to win the sweep, take the sweep in the 400? Who's the last person to do that? History in the making.
All right. Now for our next segment called the race that no one watched, but I saw the result, and I was like, oh, okay, cool.
We should make a jingle for that. That was good. I like. Also, you picked up the microphone before that, like you're doing a stand-up
yeah,
set,
yeah, yeah.
And you didn't really need to because no. The bases are really heavy. Can you introduce the segment one more time? What's it called?
The race that nobody watched, but I looked at the result and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Delivery was better even the second time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well done.
Talking about the women's 1500. Portland had a small meet happen over the weekend. A couple distance races. Safana San ran a 5K.
Mm.
Which is like, I thought you're not running the 5K, Safan. You got, she's like,
she might.
Or I thought she's just doing the 10. I don't know, Safan Hassan. She's going to add to all three, and then we're going to have to figure it out. Safan Hassan watch part 8. But no, the women's 1500, Sinclair Johnson, who hasn't run much all year. Was that her season opener? Let me check. I should know this. I didn't come prepared for my segment.
Your segment. It was.
I need to be.
People are really excited about it.
Do more research. Okay, it was her 1500 meter outdoor debut. So she ran. Oh no, it wasn't. It was her second 1500 meters. This is interesting. We may have controversy. No, I don't think it should be a problem. But you know how like World Athletics needs to like approve a result.
Yeah.
Right
it's,
now,
is that listed?
It's not listed.
Mm. Okay.
And that's her standard.
Hmm. For USA's or for Worlds?
For Worlds. Mm. So what if she makes the team?
I'm sure she's fine on points.
Have the standard,
she's
got to
be fine on points.
But
honestly, I don't know that to be true. I just say that with
but
a lot
like,
of people. Got to be fine on
points.
Imagine
if she runs 4 flat and it doesn't count in World Athletics' eyes, and therefore she doesn't have the standard even though she ran 4 flat.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, regardless, she ran 4:05 at
the Keep the train on the tracks.
Yeah, she ran 4:05 at the high school meet. Then she comes back and runs 4:00 here. Sinclair Johnson kind of staying under the radar. You know, Nikki Hiltz has been running pretty well. Josette Norris, I would look at those two as probably your top two when it comes to the 1500. Norris can do the 5 or 15. I'm not sure which one she's leaning towards. But, yeah, 4:05 to 4:00, Sinclair Johnson in the mix. Now, here's the thing, though. I have a second segment within my segment.
Mm, it's like a nesting doll.
Yeah. I get you win with the Sinclair Johnson news because I think she can now make the team. I think Sinclair, Norris, and Hilton play your top three.
You think she can make the – yes, she can make the team.
Well, before that, when she wasn't running, I thought she was injured. And it's like, oh, you go out and you run 4:05.
I thought you were going to say, I think she makes the team, not I think she can make the team. Okay, what's your other athlete?
Okay, this is in smaller – mm-hmm. There was an even smaller meet mm-hmm. that nobody watched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a result that means a lot. And you were looking it up. Elaine Thompson Hurrah.
Yeah, I did.
Elaine Thompson Hurrah made a return to the track.
11:24.
11:24, Kevin.
Plus 1.5 on the win. There was a quote. I saw it somewhere. I wanted to pull it up about just the challenges that she's had this year.
11:24.
Yeah, I mean, she won. It was an all-comers meet. I don't really know.
She won.
I don't really know what the you don't really know what the purpose. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know, like what the field was like and the conditions were for the JAAA all-comers meet.
Well, the conditions were 1.5 wind.
Right, but I mean, I didn't see the video in terms of like competition. Like, did she shut it down? Yeah, obviously, it's not. We would think she'd be under 11 at this point. Listen. If you're basing your top five on this season's results and this season's results alone,
11:24 is the 100th time.
Okay, I know what 11:24 is. I'm just saying, I don't know what
you did not know is 100th time in the world.
I know that it's not what it's like slower than she can run. That's not her.
Okay, continue. Okay. Sorry, I'm ruining your segment.
Yeah, this was my segment. I don't even know if it had a name. It had 500,000 people. Please watch. That's the name of the segment. Oh. Five. If you're going for the five, like who would be the top five just based on this year and results alone, you'd have to have Hobbs in there. You'd have to have Richardson in there. You'd have to have Tolu in there. You'd have to have Julian Alford in there. And then the fifth spot would be open. You could, I mean, Sharika. I put Sharika in there. And that's not the order.
Yeah.
But those would be the five right now. Now, can Asher Smith get in there? Absolutely. Can Thompson Rock get in there? Absolutely. Can Fraser Price get in there? Absolutely. Like,
no, absolutely, though. You can't just, you're just throwing the word absolutely out there like it's an.
They can.
You can't just throw absolutely. That's a strong word.
I'm not saying they absolutely are going to, but I'm saying absolutely it's a possibility. That's all I'm saying.
It may not be a possibility because it is June 26th. Worlds is in like 2 months.
Yeah. Well, yes. It's not about Worlds.
Lane Thompson-Roll has to qualify.
That's what I'm saying. It's about Jamaican trials. And Fraser Price, I think, said in a post. Well, I know, but she said she's going to run there. All I'm saying is... If they go 1-2 in Budapest, nobody is surprised, including me. But right now, based on the results of the
year, they're not going 1-2 right now.
The five that I mentioned, and in some order, and you can argue about the order, they're pretty close. But right now, they're not in it. Similarly, you made a post about the U.S. men's 100 meter chances, a little bit different because we feel good about Curley, but the chance of the sweep is really hard when you have Zarnell Hughes out there running 9-8 low, and you have Omanyala, and you have Tobogo, and you have Sambine, and you have Akeem Blake, and you have Oblique Seville. It's just like there's a long list of guys there.
I would plus, I think I would put $1,000 that neither Shelly Ann or Elaine Thompson Rahm medal at Worlds this year.
You could probably get pretty good odds in that. All in the game.
Would you?
No, I don't bet $1,000.
You really think they can still medal this year? I don't think it's happening.
I think they can medal.
We're seeing it happen before our eyes, man. They're not healthy.
Well, we haven't even seen.
They're not healthy.
Yeah.
If they were healthy, they would run. And I think that it's like they're chalking up the year as a skipped year, and they're going to refocus their energy towards 2024.
Paris, maybe.
Yeah.
All in the Game says, which collegians will make the best impression at USA's? Gordon, thoughts?
Which collegians?
Yeah. Sumner?
What's the definition of a good impression? Making the team?
PJ Austin, Courtney Lindsey, Willie, one of the 400-meter runners. There's a lot of them. Harder in the longer distance stuff, you'd think. Tinch.
I mean, the steeple guys.
Rooks and Hamilton.
Yeah.
The dynamic duo of the steeple. Women's side, obviously, Britton Wilson, good candidate.
Is Britton Wilson going to be healthy?
Hope so. Hope so. I think she will. Yeah, on the women's side, it's who else are we missing on the women's side for U.S. collegians on the running events that could make a team?
I mean, Talitha Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
200. It's just all offered. I mean, Mackenzie Long.
Yeah.
She'd come in there. She'd come.
But the women's, too, is so hard. The U.S., you know, to crack into that top three.
I mean, someone says
Jasmine Moore. I was talking running events, but absolutely Jasmine.
Yeah, Jasmine Moore's going to win more than the Reds. I mean, Tui, that's an unknown. Mm-hmm. Maybe she can, like, get back to her normal self and, you know, be in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, Tui might be now a year away. Like, and I think she could probably get fourth or fifth in one in the 5 or 15. And then that to, like, kind of catapult to next year.
There's so much just unpredictability about who's even going to run the 5.
Oh, 800. Rose.
Oh, Michaela Rose. Yep. Okay, that's a good one. But, like, women's 5. All right. Monson, you feel good about. Andrews, you feel good about. Infield, Kaladi.
Oh, sorry. I called her Norris. I apologize, Josette.
Yeah, I guess. So, like, Schweizer's not in here. Cranny's not in here. But, like, Monson and Andrews, you could see.
That's the two.
Making a team. And then the women's 10.
I want to make a bet with you that neither Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce or Elaine Thompson-Herault will medal this year. You want to make that bet?
Neither one will medal in
any individual
events. The one or a two?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll bet you a dollar.
You just lost a dollar.
This is going to
be rough. I think you lifetime have a lot of money. You have a lot of money.
I've made so much money off of you.
Me, yeah.
This one, like right now, you have the odds in your favor, I think.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So that's why I only bet you a dollar. Okay. Lifetime, I'm up on you. Let's see. Looking at the chat. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Well, you're looking at the chat, too. Look at Gordon dialed in on the chat, folks. Look at that.
I'm looking.
Just any comments you like? Someone said, oh, Leah Armstrong, that's a good one. Masai Russell, it's a good one. People debating people's form.
This is great podcasting. No, I'm reading. Silence of watching you read.
Beef Boy says LOL. Don't know what the LOL is response to, but LOL. All
right, I have an update.
Uh-oh.
So you know how I made rankings
for
world rankings?
Yeah, how are they doing? Wait, you made rankings for world rankings?
I made a world rankings and a U.S. rankings.
Yeah.
And I think it's time that I need to update them because...
Yeah, do it.
Especially the U.S. side because things have changed.
Yeah.
Kevon Charleston ran that 990, moved up, right? Different dynamics have unfolded. Now Bryce Hoppel looks better in the 8. Different things have happened, right? A Thing Mo has run a race, so now I can rank her properly in the world. But so the way I do my rankings is I have this Excel sheet. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I go through and I have the numbers and I do the algorithm calculations and I update it. And this Excel sheet file lives on my desktop. I also have a bunch of other files on my desktop. And 2 days ago, I was like, I need to clean off my desktop. So I was just like, oh yeah, delete, 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 delete. Oh, random Excel file, delete. I deleted the ranking.
It's probably for the best. They were pretty bad.
And so late last night, I realized that. I was like, oh, crap, I deleted the rankings. I mean, they're still on the website, but the formula that populated it is gone.
Yeah.
So I'm coming out with another set of pair of new rankings this week.
Good.
And they may hold true to what I did 2 weeks ago, but they may be drastically different because my algorithm might have changed.
And then your arguments are just going to vary wildly.
So expect new rankings on the U.S.
Which
and
day?
World side this week. I don't know the exact day. I was pulling all the data late last night. Yes, it's going to be it's embarrassing because you're going to be like, wait, why did this person go from 8th to 4th or from 3rd to 9th and nothing changed? And I'll be like, well.
Something changed. Don't know about it.
Yeah, don't know about it. Yeah, so new rankings coming out. I'm excited, especially the U.S. ones. That's the ones that I care more about is because USA's is like a week away.
Yeah.
And excited to bust those out. So look out for U.S. rankings, world rankings, and also it's standard watch time. There are some athletes who don't have the standard who are relying on getting in on their world ranking points.
Remind me, what did we bet on again? No medal in the one and the two.
For Shelly-Ann and Elaine.
And Sharika, right?
No. Did not include Sharika in that.
All in the game. Says, can't remember, but did y'all talk about Nafi TM coach Michael Vanderplatzen's comments on Anna Hall last week? Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw Anna Hall clap back.
How did she respond? Okay, so here's the quote. We didn't talk about this. Thank you. The quote is this. It's from Nafi TM's coach. She has a lot of speed, less technique. It's a bit typical of the Americans. She's a good athlete, and her performance is good for the combined events. I understand the enthusiasm of the media and the public, but I remind you that Nafi has always had tough opponents against her, Ennis, Johnson, Thompson, Vetter, etc. And to become European indoor champion this year, you had to beat the world record. So for Nafi, it's not really a new phenomenon, and between Götze's and Budapest, it will not necessarily be the same story. What was her response?
Well, her response was just retweeting the quote.
Love it. Great response by her. Do you think Nafi TM's like, hey, don't say that, coach? Like, this is just going to add more fuel to the fire?
The second half,
I think, is totally fine. I remind you, she's had tough opponents, and you had to beat the world record. It's not new, and it's not going to be the same thing. But like...
Well, he was probably asked, hey, what are your thoughts on Anna Hall's, like... And he's going to say, like, I think my athlete's ready to go.
Yeah, well, I know, but it's a bit typical of the Americans. She's a good athlete, and her performance is good for the combined events. I understand the enthusiasm of meeting the public. I guess, that's not really not that spicy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's cool because it's not, you know, like, oh, now you care about this person, but
right.
Can't remember, like, check out the resume.
Yeah.
She's like, scoreboard.
Just like rings, basically.
Yeah, rings,
like,
yeah.
She's
doing the Klay Thompson 4.
Yeah, she didn't have 4 yet, though, but. Okay, so what do you think? Like it? Don't like it? I mean, you want people to give their honest opinion of things, so you can't criticize them when they do it. I think the thing that probably raised people's eyebrows a bit was it's typical of the Americans section.
The Americans.
Typical. Is that the accent that he has?
The Americans.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's... I don't know. I didn't. Do you think Anna Hall feels disrespected?
There's a reason she's retweeting it. I mean, it's makes it interesting.
But has a lot of speed, less technique. Is like she's good at the track events and not as good at the field events.
I guess when you
that's
say
what
someone,
that means.
Yeah. Well, when you say less technique, that is a shot, right?
But I mean, she's really good at the 800.
Well, right, like, right, 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 right. I mean,
she's better at the 800 than she is at the shot put, and I don't think that's a.
Not yes, but like when you say less technique, it gives it's like, hey, I work hard to get my technique as good as it is. Like I'm technical.
But
too.
I think he meant
he
good at track, bad at the field.
And I don't know this.
She
gentleman.
Gets her points and she relies on the track points more than the field points.
Right, right. He's just again, I don't know him, but you know, doing the most generous interpretation.
And it's a bit typical of the Americans where they are, you know.
Maybe he's just doing a general overall analysis of what the heptathlon's been. And it's like, hey, if you don't know her, she's stronger in these events and these events, which follows
but
the pattern of her country.
Is that true that most Americans get most of their points more from the track events versus the field events? Like Ashton Eaton, where was his like big points? They were probably from long jump
his
and
long
the 400.
Yeah, but I mean, long jump, is that? I guess
that's not his technique. I think it's not, though, like the
pole vault
and the there's more.
I like how you're doing the motion for all of them. The pole vault, the shot put. Well, they don't vault in the hep.
Yeah, they don't vault in the hep, but
yeah. They
should. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that's my.
I think it's a bunch of nothing. I think we're reaching. I think we're searching for controversy. There's no controversy.
Gordon says no controversy.
No controversy. That's my official. Who's your segment? Controversy or not?
No controversy. Okay, who's your pick? Do you have an early Budapest pick for the heptathlon? You're going to wait?
I'm going to wait.
Okay.
My rankings are all over the place right now. So
sure like TM, though, is probably not thrilled that it became a thing.
I don't think she cares. Has 204 likes. It's okay.
It's not like it's on a channel with 500.
It's not like we're talking about.
Broadcasting to the masses. All right, anybody else? Questions? Comments. Now's your time. Oh wait, we're time to go almost. It is time to go. Where did Tyler go?
So what'd you think of our first show ever on our
My computer liked it.
Full track page.
My computer liked it.
I'm sure the Spotify listeners are like, what's the difference? It's still on Spotify?
Spotify folks and Apple Podcast folks are just still listening.
How do you power rank where people listen to us?
You mean which ones do I like the most?
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate people who are in front of a computer or device to watch us because we do have visuals that we put up. So that's kind of cool. And I like that they can comment in real time. But I'm more of an audio person. So I would never begrudge anyone for listening to us when they go for a run or do chores around the house. So I can't really. Sorry. That's too controversial.
She's your favorite child type situation.
Exactly. Here. And I can't
do that.
Can't
ask you to do it. But you do have a favorite child, right? Of your three?
I have a leader in the clubhouse.
You do? Right?
Yeah.
Can you say?
No, next pod.
All right. Thanks for listening. Make sure you like and subscribe. Liking helps the algorithm, apparently. And we'll be back on this channel moving forward.
Monday will be we'll have USA's preview.
Yeah.
Next week.
Mega preview on Monday. We're also going to be doing live pods after each day of USA's in July. So that should be exciting. Lots of stuff to go through. Keep watching. Live track meet tomorrow, though. Ostrava. We didn't even preview it.
It's going to be good.
Bombillo's running.
Yeah. Yeah. Some really good field event stuff, too.
Field events.
Yeah.
Krauser's out there.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Which is kind of wild. He's got USA's. He's like, I'm going Ostrava.
Yep.
Also, Ostrava, best logo. It's just the word Ostrava with 3 exclamation points. Great logo. All right.
Thanks, Tyler.
Peace.